access number 27799, Mr. Laurie Godfrey, Reel 2. Now, you were on this posting at Cark, which got near Morecambe, which sounds like a sort of holding posting.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
I think that's probably what it was, yeah. So we're going on then for... Instead of going straight to OTU, I suppose it was holding until there was a vacancy, so I suppose, pushing us through.
You went to your holding post, your real post, at 19 operational training.
That's right.
Mm. That's at Kinloss. And you went there in, January 44?
February
44. February
44.
What was happening at 19 operational training? Is this where you're forming your crew?
This is where you form your crew, more or less. You'll get together, and I crewed up with a Sergeant Brandburn at first. And crew, he was keen on trying to make part to get on the Pathfinders. I don't know why. That's before he ever started OT, really. And but I think after after a few months or a few weeks, I had to leave them because I contacted tonsillitis and had Quincy, so I had to go into hospital.
Now let's talk a bit about what you did first with this first crew.
There's further training, isn't it? You know, cross countries and circuits and bumps.
Do you remember any of the rest of that crew, other than Sergeant Bradbury? You know, the first crew that you, or are they gone?
I can't remember a lot about them. No, they probably went on. Well, I had to leave them, so they went on. So I don't really know what happened to them.
Right. So did you actually get as far as going on the heavy conversion course with them?
Not with Sergeant Bradburn, no.
Not with them?
No.
So you got tonsillitis and Quincy?
That's right.
Fairly early on then?
Well, it was, yeah. I've got it down there, the dates, actually. I went to a hospital near Inverness, I think it was, yeah. Then I had a fortnight's convalescent.
Now, so what happened then?
Well, after that, I had to have tonsillectomy, and after my fortnight's convalescent, as I say, it was back to reality then. It was back to OTU. Where there was a Canadian crew they were looking for a wireless operator, and the pilot happened to ask me, and I joined them.
Now, was this
and
the
they
crew?
Were Canadians.
Is this the crew that you went into action
they
with?
They are the crew that I stayed with. Yeah.
Now, can we go through the crew? I don't know whether you can remember their names or whether I can read them.
Well, the first one was Lorne Case. Lorne Case, L-O-R-N-E, Case. He was the pilot.
What was he like? An officer? Was he an officer?
He was the WO. And he did, while I was with him, he got to fly an officer.
And what was he like, Lorne Case?
Quite a nice, religious sort of guy. He used to hand out little religious verses for us before we ever took off, I thought that was good. Anyway, no, he's quite a nice man. No? He's quite a good boy. Yeah, good pilot.
And who else in the crew?
Well, Gordon Skinner was the navigator. He's the chap I write to now every year, and...
He's a sergeant, was he?
No, he was a pilot officer at the time.
And what was Gordon Skinner like?
All right, very nice, very quiet, studious sort of guy. He never used to come out drinking at all. He used to study quite a lot because Navigator had quite a lot to learn. It was forever changing the, all the different navigational aids and that. He's quite a nice bloke, very nice.
Who else in your crew?
Charlie Shoenells, who was the bomb aimer.
Shoenells?
Yeah. I think it's more like a German name, isn't it? Yeah. Shoenells. I don't know if it's on there. It probably is. S-C-H.
Shoenellis.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've got that. So...
He was a bomb aimer. And he used to assist the navigator on the trip out. before we got to the target, and then he would take over his position for bomb aiming.
And who else?
Right, we come back to me. I was a Wallace. And then there was Davis. What was his first name?
Like, it's not on there. It's just
we've called him Taffy all the time.
Taffy Davis.
And then the two gunners, which was Tom Romachuk. He was a mid-upper gunner. And Danny Shaka was the rear gunner.
And
two good gunners, two very good gunners.
We were quiet crew. I mean, different crews are different characters.
We were very quiet. Our pilot wouldn't allow any talking unless it was necessary, right, you know.
But by quiet as well, I mean, you know, not drinking and running about or
No. I used to go out up the local pub and perhaps with Charlie Shunels, he'd had a drink, but we never used to mix too well off. We wasn't in one another's pockets all the time, you know what I mean? And they were a very good crew.
So you got
dedicated to their job.
You got on well, but you didn't necessarily spend all your time with each other.
No, that's right.
So now you join this crew. Looks like
you
joined them
hospital.
In June 44.
Yeah.
Round about June 44.
That's right.
And what do you remember? You were flying. Were you in Anson's with them? And
Anson's mostly Whitley's. I think you'll see the time I've done on them. Whitley's,
yeah, it's Anson's 11 hours and 11 hours. Day and night, and then the Whitleys are 85 hours and 53 hours. So a lot of flying.
Yes, yeah.
Did you feel the crew knitting together?
Oh yes, yeah.
Now, so what happened next then? You have to go to a heavy conversion unit next, I presume. And
heavy conversion unit at Dishforth, converted onto Halifax's.
Now, do you know which heavy conversion unit it is? It's a Dishforth, but do you know?
Yeah, 1664. Sorry, I didn't put that down there. Well, it's in my book anyway. Yeah.
It's in your logbook, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a Dishforth, Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Now, what were you doing there?
Well, we converted onto the Halifax, and we had familiarisation, first of all, you know, flight, and then the pilot at the solo and dual control on two flights, and then we've done various flights, quarter cross sander. I think we've done different.
You're just getting used to the flights. Now, what did you think of the Halifax?
Well, I didn't mind it at all. I liked it really. I preferred that than the Lancaster, actually, myself.
Now, why?
More room. The Lancaster was very more compact inside because they had a slightly larger bomb bay, I believe, the Lancaster had. But, I did like the... There seemed to be plenty of room in... Most of us were up the front in the Halifax. There was the bomb owner, a navigator. He was facing port. I was just behind him and then two steps up and... About a 9 foot drop between the pilot and the the pilot, and behind him was the engineer. So we was all up the front, and then there's a mid upper gunner and a tail gunner.
Now, once you got familiar with that, the heavy conversion unit, you then seem to get posted to Linton.
Your operational drone. This Linton is News. Yeah.
Which squadron were you joining there?
408.
And that's six group?
It was six group, yeah.
Now, was this a Canadian squadron, or was it an RAF squadron?
No, it was a Canadian squadron, yeah.
And what was your... You know, when you join a squadron, how did they receive you? I mean, it's not like they're going to make a big fuss of you. They get lots of new crews. But how did they sort of bed you in?
Well, we had a few training flights. I think I got it down there to start with. We went on the Halifax 7, which was quite a nice aircraft, really. And done so many flights, training flights, before we started operational flying.
Now, was there any difference between the Mark 7 and the Halifax you'd been flying on before, or was it pretty much the same?
Well, the same positions in the plane, but it was a far better plane, I think, you know.
Just the next step on.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Now, so what about your first raids? I mean, do you remember your first raid? Or
yeah, Essen.
Now, would that be a good one to look at a typical raid? Because that's what we try and get, sort of pick up all the points of what a raid was like. Would that be a good one to look at, to, you know, from the moment you were briefed to the end of the raid? Or is there another one that would do better for that?
Well, we too bad, but we... I don't know, because on the way back, we was diverted to... caught down on the coast.
It's Manston.
Manston. Divert to Manston. And we had to land a fog. We had to land on the Fido. The Fido was petrol tubes all the way down.
But that's sort of the end of the raid. Let's start at the other end of the raid then. Let's look at the raid from the very start. Now, this the raid on Essence, your first operational raid, that's on the 23rd of October, 1944.
Yep.
Now, how, when would you first know you were going on? How would you be told you were going on a raid?
Well, we were called to briefing.
That would be
but
the first.
But we didn't hear beforehand. They used to, one thing they used to call out, tannoy testing on the aerodrome, so we always knew that there was, we had to report for a certain time for briefing.
Now, so would you be involved in a testing at all before the briefing or not?
Not before the briefing, no.
So let's start with the briefing. What would happen at the briefing?
Well, we'd go to various sections. I would go to mine and get the, give me the call sign and your decoding books. And navigator would have his, go to his section, and all go to various sections, and then finally all come together in the main briefing room, pointing out the target and by the wing commander.
Now, what would you, as a wireless operator, you were mainly a wireless operator, you had two gunners as well as you.
You
were a spare gunner, but you were the wireless operator.
Well, that's right. If one of the gunners was shot out or anything, if he could, you could drag him out and get in yourself, if it ever happened. But it never happened to me anyway.
Just as well. Yeah. Now, so what was your briefing as wireless operator? What would they be on about with you?
Well, they give you your decoding books and your call sign for the last name, and then you never had to touch, when I was on, you never had to touch the key at all, unless you was in an emergency. And as luck would have it, we never had an emergency.
So
you're
was
just
an
listening
absolute,
out, mainly.
There was a blackout. What do you call it? You weren't meant to use a wireless at all. It was a silence.
No, keep silent unless you're in emergency. So my other job then was to, we had these bundles of window. Have you heard of window? Yeah.
We'll come
back to throw that out.
We'll get to that then. So,
yeah.
You were briefed about the codes and everything, but you were also told that there was a wireless silence.
That's right.
Throughout the raid.
That's right. Yeah.
So, anything else about the briefing, or would that be it?
Well, that would more or less be it. And you had these bundles of window, which was my job to.
So
little track door beside
would you be
me.
Given that, or would that be in the aircraft ready for you?
That's already in the air.
Right.
They're already
so
in
there. At the briefing, what would happen after the briefing? Where would you go? What would you do?
Right, we go in and get
flying kit.
Flying kit. Yeah.
Now, what was your flying kit from your underpants to the top? What would you wear?
I never wore. I was in the warmest spot actually. The heaters were right near me. But the poor old rear gunner who's very cold. Yeah. No, it wasn't too bad at all.
So what would you
quite
wear?
All right.
What would you wear?
Normal uniform.
Which was?
And with your
You wouldn't wear a SID cut then? At all, or a flying suit?
No, I never had a flying suit. No, no.
So when you
the
say
rear gunners, the gunners would have. Yeah.
So when you say normal uniform, you mean your normal uniform?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And nothing special on your hands or anything?
No. Well, we had silk gloves, and but didn't need it for me anyway.
So you pick up your flying kit, or a helmet and things. What about that? A helmet not.
Oh, you had that, yeah, and for your intercom. Yeah. Yeah,
and that had your oxygen as well?
And yeah, that's your oxygen mask, which had to be plugged in at 10,000 feet.
So you got, you pick your flying kit up. You've been briefed, you picked your flying kit up. What happens next?
Well, the trucks were outside, the MT people used to drive us round to the where our planes were. They dropped us off where our plane was. And we just
Before you got on board, was your crew a superstitious crew? I mean, some people would urinate on the back wheel, some people would have things on them, some people would carry things.
No, we were sort of a normal crew, I think, yeah. And we used to have the padre come round on his cycle. He, I don't know why, but he used to cycle round and get to see most of them before it was taken off. He'd have a quick word with you and wish you well, and then he'd cycle on to the next one.
Was that important to you? Were you religious? Or?
Well, not to that extent, really, no, you know.
So, had a send-off from the padre. Now what?
Right. Getting your aircraft. Then we get the green very light, and it was time to get in and taxi round to the runway. And we taxi round, and it's your turn, and give you the green light, you get onto the runway.
Any final checks? Or
well, we've got in, when we first go out, we get in the plane, check our equipment.
Well, what would you check?
Well, everything's working all right, but you couldn't call up me because of the, you know, I mean, you get the enemy, they're all listening in all the time. So
they
make sure everything's working okay, all right, you know. And the gunners have done that during the daytime, they've been out to check their guns and everything's. Everything was already checked.
Now, what about so you taxi to the take? What about the takeoff?
Takeoff, lovely. They used to open up, didn't they? Let the brakes off, open up, and get up to about 100 miles an hour, nearly the full length of the runway before you took off. Just about skimmed the old tree hedges at the bottom.
Was it a bit nerve wracking that, or did you know it?
To be quite honest, now I shouldn't say this, but I used to stand behind the pilot. I used to love to watch the takeoff and the landing. Not supposed to have done, of course, but Smithy never ever said anything, so I thought it was quite good. Because we had bombs, you had bombs in the wings as well, and you said the old wings are going up. Well, I think when you're young, you don't take so much notice of what you do. You know, you think about it now, probably. You think, yeah.
Were you nervous? I mean, taking off, or when you start on a mission, or your first mission, on that mission on Essen, how did you feel inside here?
Oh, I don't know. I think, you're wondering how things would go, I suppose, but, you know. Hmm.
Did you know then about the casualties? They're still shooting them down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you never used to take any notice of that. If somebody was missing, it never entered you. You had to keep it in the back of your mind, really, didn't you? Yeah.
So you weren't.
I mean, some used to, I know, but and then, of course, if you happen to pull out of flying or operational at all, then you was brought down in ranks and you was called, what was it?
Lacking in moral fibre.
Lack of moral fibres, yeah. So, no, we never had anything like that.
So you were a bit edgy, okay. But nothing more than that.
Well, yeah, around about that, like that. Yeah, nothing more than that.
Had you been given any of the, I think they call them wakey-wakey tablets, amphetamine tablets?
We used to have, this is one of my old navigator's letters here. remember the old barley candies we used to get before we took off.
So it was small, sweet. You didn't have amphetamine tablets. Some crews did. I
couldn't imagine. No, you didn't have them.
What are the sweets? So these barley sweets, they were a popular thing, were they? Sucking a barley candy?
Well, we used to have them, yeah. We used to have sandwiches as well. You know, I used to have peanut butter sandwiches to take with you. Yeah.
Now,
did you find most of them did? They must have had coffee and that with them. Yeah.
So you'd have food? Rattles. It rattles.
Barley candies.
Barley candies, yeah. Now, so you'd have sweets, and would you take food with you as well, would you? And
yes, we had a pack of sandwiches, yeah.
And would you actually eat them?
I used to, yeah. Yeah.
And coffee?
Yes, you had drink, yeah.
And what about latrine provision?
Well, never used it. There was an ocean bucket just by the mid-upper, on the bottom of where he was. But I don't think anybody left their position to use it anyway, not on the trip.
So you just, it didn't arise?
Didn't arrive, no.
Now, when you flew, did you fly independently, or did you fly in a formation, or did you fly as part of a bomber stream? How did you actually make your way?
Well, you were all briefed to time for takeoff and time to arrive over the target, which was minutes behind one another. Like, and if your navigator was on spot on, then that was all right. But on some occasions they weren't, and there'd be planes above you dropping their bombs and collisions.
So you made your own route. You were all going to the same place, but you made your own route.
No, you was all given a route to take at briefing. Yeah.
But you
were all given a navigator.
You didn't look out the window as to where anyone else was.
Well, you could see the others.
But you just flew your own navigator.
Oh, yes, yeah.
To get in the way you were told to go.
That's right, yeah.
So what would you be doing during the journey? You weren't allowed to send any signals. Would you be receiving
any? No, you're listening out all the time. You used to get a heck of a lot of interference. And of course, I mean, Jerry was sort of plugging in to try and get any information on that.
Now, the interference, was this German jamming or was it just interference?
A lot of interference, yeah.
And what were there any signals coming out to you ever? Or
one, on the whole operation, one.
What was that?
You get the decoding book out. It was a change of wind direction to pass on to the navigator to alter his charts. And that was all I had on the whole of the operation. One call. So you were there, but they could have done without me, couldn't they?
But you were there in case.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Now so you'd be sat there.
I mean if we come down in the North Sea or something like that, and you've got your dinghy, you've got your wireless still, and you get a bearing and everything, so, you know, but never happened to us, so there you go, lucky.
Now, what about, so you're on your way, on the way to Essen, did anything in particular happen that trip? Well, I can see other things as things happen, but on the way to Essen, that's on the, as we said, the 23rd of October, anything you remember about that first raid over Germany? On the way out?
No.
Could you see from where you were, or you'd have to stand up behind the pilot?
Oh, I was underneath the pilot.
So
had a little window there, but we had the curtain closed. See. So actually, we navigated, we never saw anything. Just sitting there and hope for the best. Like.
Now, what happened when you got over the approach? What was the approach to the target like?
Well, the bomb aimer used to get down and he'd call out, you know, coming up to the target, left, or right, steady, and the pilot had to keep it steady all the time, couldn't move off of that. And Bombo used to say, press the button, bombs away. But you stayed on that course for your, that's how you get these photographs, right, you know, for the camera to turn over. This business of where they say they dived out and straight home, that never happened. Because you had to have a picture to make sure that it was that raid was, or that you've done that raid, like, you know. I mean, some of them used to turn away and come back before they ever got to the target at one time.
So
they never got it down as a target.
So you dropped the bombs, you carried on, took a photograph after a certain...
Till the navigator, yeah.
Now, what about your window dropping? When would you do that?
Oh, once you get across to coming up across the other side, coming up into Germany and the target, you're dropping this window to.
Now, how did you actually do it? I know it sounds daft, but explain what you did.
As in Barnwell's, I just had a little trap door at the side of me, just count fire and drop these bundles. Thousands of pieces of
this. They were in bundles?
Yeah.
Would you pull a string to let them go? Or would they just
as they went out, they used to just fly all over the place, like, you know. Thousands of them dropping down. That messed up their navigation. You know, they couldn't... was doing that right up to the end, actually. We were.
So you do that as soon as you got near Germany?
Yeah.
Now... So you've dropped the bombs, you've gone on straight, you've taken the photograph, now what?
Well, we'll set course for home then. And
now did you, what about the German anti-aircraft defences? How much did you see of them on that Essen raid? I mean, were there many searchlights, anti-aircraft?
Searchlights, if you had those on a clear night, no cloud about. Bags of searchlights about. And then you had the master searchlight. If the master searchlight picked anybody up, then the rest come on them and they'd have a job to get out. But otherwise, plenty of anti-aircraft gun. But mostly on a clear night, you would have the fighters coming up. You know, so they could see you and sort them out.
But nothing on the Essen raid, at least. I know you did on the, because I can see.
You'll come to one or two there. Yeah.
But on the Essen one, you got away with it.
Yep. Okay.
And then what about the flight back? Anything about that?
No, that was okay.
Now,
but we was diverted then.
Why were you diverted? That's where you diverted.
Foggy weather.
To Manston.
Yeah.
Oh, the
fog. Yeah, and the Fido. The petrol light down either side of the runway used to burn the fog off. Then we landed on that. So that was our first trip.
And how did you feel after your first trip, you know?
Not too bad, really, I don't think.
No reaction?
No, we seemed to be all right.
Was there a debriefing? Oh, I know you landed at Manston, but I mean...
What, interrogation? You didn't get that at Manston, no. That come back when you got back to your own.
So what would a debriefing be like?
Well, the interrogation was whatever you've seen. Or, like, you know, if a gun has reported plenty of fighters around. Or
was there much to debrief you about? In view, I mean, you couldn't see much. You dropped your window.
Well, we all sit in there, but, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, the gunners could see about quite a lot, couldn't they? And... the engineer,
but you.
He had a little astronome, he could look out, and the pilot. But myself and the navigator on the bomb, I never saw much, really.
So there wasn't much point in asking you what you'd seen, no?
Not really, no.
But you still were asked.
But we was needed, I suppose, you know.
No, I mean, but you were asked. I mean, we're talking about the debriefing.
Well, no, they just generally ask you, and if anybody's seen anything, they state what they've seen.